The following program is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meetings, what does visiting versions of the towns you lived in with a whole different twist mean? What does a swaying pier in a beautiful English countryside have to do with battling shyness? What could drowning near a toilet mean? And how does chaos on a dream stage play into chaos in real life? All that and more on today's episode of Dream Meetings. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number here at Dream Meetings to share your dreams with us. We would love to hear them, talk about them on a future episode of the program, give you some insight into what may be going on behind that dream. Love doing the show with you guys. Of course, you can also write in on our website, which is dreamingradio.com, D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, radio.com, to submit your dream that way. So two different ways to get those dreams to the program. And of course, if you like the show, we ask for a little support. $1 an episode is our baseline entry point through Patreon to support our program. That will get you advanced episodes of the show as we make them. So as I create these things, I put them up there on the Patreon feed, usually a couple weeks in advance of it being out on the free feed. You also get a fast pass to send your dream story to us, so you can send it in ahead of everyone else so we can get to it that much quicker. There's also the $3 an episode level. That's where you get advanced access before anybody else, just like I said before, the fast pass. I'll also give you a shout out on the program as a thank you for the support. Also, we'll get on a phone call and one-on-one discuss your dream. Yeah. So more than just a letter, more than just an email, we will actually have a chat about your dream one-on-one. And we may even use it on a future episode of the program. That's if you support us on Patreon at the $3 level per episode. You do that on our website. Go to dreamingradio.com, and you can click on the Patreon button there, or go to patreon.com/dreammeetings. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Kayla from Atlanta, Georgia. Just thought I'd call in and explain some weird dreams that I've been having. Actually, I've stopped having them. It's been a few months since I've had the type of reoccurring dreams. So anyways, I don't get reoccurring dreams very often. There's maybe like one or two kind of strange ones that kind of pops up here and there. But this dream was, I mean, I had it at least twice a week. And it wasn't necessarily a bad dream. And it wasn't always exactly the same, but it was like the same idea. So, you know, I would have these dreams where I would be in like someone else's house. I would just be, it wasn't necessarily me in the dream. It was just me being in a house, either like a brand new, really nice house or an old creepy house. It doesn't matter. The whole idea of the dream was I'd be in a house and I would discover like an extra secret room somewhere in the house. And that extra like secret room would always be creepy. It wasn't nice like the rest of the house or whatever. It would always be real dark and like grungy and covered in like old cobwebs and like, you know, just like somebody used to live there years and years ago and they just left. So that was always weird, but I really liked it because I like creepy stuff, obviously, because I listened to you guys. So yeah, I would have those dreams like twice a week. As far as things going on in my life at the time, I guess I was just maybe dealing with the stress and moving and trying new things in my life, like places to live and whatnot, new jobs. But I don't really understand why that explains the dream. Anyways, here's the weird part. So I'm really close with my dad, and we have the kind of relationship where, you know, you go to pick up the phone to call them, and they're like, oh, well, I was just thinking about you. Or we finished each other's sentences, just little things like that. So I have been having the dream for a while now. And I, you know, just hanging out with my dad and started telling him about it because we share that kind of stuff. And he's like, there's no way. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I've been having dreams like that. So apparently me and my dad were both having reoccurring dreams about being in just like a house and discovering like a secret room. in the house, and it was always creepy. And we both really liked the dream. Like, it was eerie, but it was cool. And I like that kind of stuff in person, too. I mean, I love, like, you know, big houses with different rooms, and, like, it's like a maze to get through the house. I don't like the whole open concept theme. Like, I don't like that. So, yeah, I thought it was so crazy. It was like, yeah, I've been having dreams like that, too, for a while now, like, around the same time period that I had been having the dreams. And we both were like, yeah, you know, we would just be in a house, we'd discover a room, and that room was always creepy and, like, covered in cobwebs and just dark. I think, like, one of the last dreams that I had like that, my aunts were in it, his sisters, which was weird because in the other dreams, I didn't really know anybody. Like, I never in real life, like, it wasn't even really me in the dream. It was just someone else. But in my last one, I saw my aunts, like, they were coming to visit. And he's like, really? Like, I had them visit in my dream, too, or something like that. It was very similar. Just thought I would share that. I've never really had experiences of sharing dreams with somebody. And we both haven't really had those dreams since then. Since we told each other, we haven't had the reoccurring dream. I had one, like, once a couple weeks ago, but it wasn't very vivid. Like, not as vivid as and memorable as the other ones. So just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that. I thought it was pretty weird. Can't wait to call in and tell you guys more stories. Nothing too crazy. And I enjoy the show, and keep it up. Bye.
Okay, a lot of times when you have a dream about a home, it's a reflection of yourself. The home is you. The home is your mind. The home is, you know, every nook and cranny. It kind of encompasses different parts of you, different feelings of how you how you're taking in the world, your feelings about it, everything, okay? So when you have a dream that you're discovering new rooms, new secret hidden rooms, oftentimes it concurs with a time of discovery in one's life, a time of trying different things, trying different places, meeting different people, all sorts of things. So a lot of times for folks, that is your late teens, early to mid 20s, that is quite often where a lot of those instances in life are occurring, especially to an extreme degree. We all obviously go through changes in life, but the initial set of some of the biggest changes oftentimes comes when you're, you know, leaving the nest and getting settled in the world around you and kind of coming into your own. So having a dream like that at that moment in time could very well, I would say, coincide with that portion of your life. It sounds like that's kind of what was going on at that moment. For your dad to be having the dream at the same time, that in a parent's life also can be a very big time of discovery because, the children that you've been there with for the last, you know, 18 to 20 years and have been the focal point of your life are out on their own doing their own thing. And now suddenly you have less focal point, for lack of a better term. There's suddenly all this time to fill, all this void to fill in your day-to-day life. And then that can be a room for discovery, a room for finding new things, new passions, new interests, new whatever. So having him go through it, not only do you sound like you have, you know, similar personalities and similar ways of thinking, but he was probably almost going through some of the same emotions in a different way, in a different time and point in his life, but nonetheless, a time of discovery and a time of kind of getting some new bearings on what life is going to be like going forward. So I think the house dream and the symbolism in it really works hand in hand for both of you to be having it at the same time. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. 1-800-606-7193, the phone number here at Dream Meanings to share your dream with us. We would love to hear it. Even love it more if you choose to support this thing and keep it on the air. Just go to dreamingradio.com, click on the button at the top of the page or the little menu item there that says support the show through Patreon, or just go directly to Patreon, patreon.com. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com. patreon.com/dreammeetings. And you can be a supporter of the show, a patron of our show. We ask $1 an episode. So what that means is when you're a patron on Patreon, every time we release a show, it then you've pledged $1 to that show. So it's less than, it literally is less than the cup of the cost of a cup of coffee, most sodas, and almost anything in existence. It's cheaper. And we do about a show a week. So by the end of the month, you know, depending on how many weeks are in the month, $4-5 is what you're spending, to keep this thing alive. So if you like it, we ask for your support. We do greatly appreciate that. Because we can't do this thing without you guys. So if you want this thing to continue on the air, please consider doing that at patreon.com/dreammeetings. Let's go over to a letter. Comes into us from Julie. And Julie says, hey, guys, just wanted to share a short story about a dream I used to have. I had a dream about 5 or so times during my early teenage years, now in my late 20s. My dream took place in a small bathroom with only a toilet. All I can remember about my dream was that the bathroom would fill up with water. I'd basically be drowning because there was no way out. I'd wake up right before completely drowning. My family, my cousin and I went on a vacation to Mexico one summer. I remember we had went to a wave pool at a water park. My cousin and I were within a few feet from each other when the waves started coming in. We started swimming to the edge, but the waves were getting bigger and stronger. I was getting tired, and all I could do was breathe as much air as I could before going underwater. I was so tired, and all I wanted to do was rest my arms and legs. I did this a few times until I could not do it anymore. I went underwater one last time, almost giving up, until I felt someone grab my arm and pull me up and to the edge of the pool. It was my cousin. She asked me if I was okay, and all I could do was gasp for air and wrap my head around what had just happened. Everything happened so fast, and I didn't register the fact that I was drowning. I hadn't had that dream ever since. So what was going on at the time? Says nothing memorable. Why was there a toilet in my dream? Is the big question with this specific dream. Well, I don't know that the toilet itself has a whole lot to do with what was going on. I think the focus here, more so when you're in that bathroom in the dream setting, is a lot more to do with the drowning experience that you were feeling. And I think a lot of it ties into the age at which you had the dream. When you're in those teen years, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of discovering, rediscovering, canceling out, essentially molding. It's a time of molding who you are and trying to discover who you are and go through a lot of emotional rebirths, if you will, for all the relationships you have, the turmoil that happens. It's a crazy, chaotic, hectic time. So there's a lot of that going on. It's a lot of rediscovery of who you are. And when you dream that you survive a drowning incident, and really regardless or irregardless of where it's occurring, it's symbolizing quite often an emotional rebirth or an emotional rediscovery of who you are. And a lot of times just the drowning itself, the water coming up, is representative of overwhelming feelings and emotions, which when you're at that age, everything, at least for me, it was, seemed to be, you know, a pretty big deal. And I think for most teenagers, it can be that way. And it rises up and rises up, but then you survive those waves or those possible drowning moments, and you come out of it and you realize I'm much stronger than I was before, and it wasn't really as bad as I thought it was. So it's kind of an awakening of who you are. And who you're going to be as you continue to evolve as a human being. The fact that you actually had a drowning experience shortly thereafter of having this dream, I think quite honestly is more coincidence than not. I don't really feel like it was any sort of foretelling or any sort of prediction of the future or anything of that nature in this case. I think it just happened to be in a rough situation, and that's what occurred. Thank God you had a cousin there that was able to save you. But I don't think the two are necessarily connected. Now, after having that experience, there very likely could be dreams and aversions to water and things of that nature and drowning experiences that kind of flash back because there could be some trauma that occurred there that you're going to have to work through. But I wouldn't necessarily connect the dream and then having the experience of drowning shortly thereafter as one and the same. I really don't think they are. I think a lot of the dream was more so connected to the age of teenager and just going through life and the evolution of that time. Thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number. 800-606-7193. Call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your dream story there for you, or just write in on our website, which is dreaming, D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, radio.com. Lewis writes in, had a few dreams of me being involved in a shootout situation. Varies, but in all the dreams, there's a shootout. Every time I shot the assailant, my bullets that had no effect on him. They've all been in self-defense, by the way. In one of the dreams, I went to a corner store and a random belligerent guy I didn't recognize attacked me. The situation escalated and I shot him in self-defense. Being shot had no effect on the guy and he fired back, striking me in the abdomen. Then I woke up. I had that same dream a second time, only this time my girlfriend was with me. He shot her. And after I shot him multiple times, he charged me and we got into a fist fight. Didn't matter how hard or how many times I hit the guy, nothing affected him. I remember being very mad at the fact that I couldn't do anything to protect her or stop the guy. So what was going on at the time of having this dream in your life? He says nothing major. As I mentioned before, I've had those dreams multiple times and the bullets not stopping the attacker have been common occurrence. What does this mean? Why do my efforts in defending myself have no effect? And you have to take a look now at the rest of your life. What's going on and where do you feel helpless would be my question. What part of your life are things feeling a bit out of control where the actions you are taking and as you take them, you think they're going to have X effect, but they do not. And where is that frustrating you? And where is that overwhelming you? And is it something you're really consciously aware of? Is this something that's going on in your life that you just say, I'm trying my best, it'll get better? You know, the it'll get better strategy or thought process can lead to dreams like this when things just continually are not getting better. That's what the man who's not being shot down represents, some sort of oppressor in your life or situation, not necessarily an individual. Could be an individual, though, that no matter what you do, it's your efforts, and not necessarily even to attack them. It's probably not even necessarily representative of a negative situation when you're actively trying to hurt someone, but more so just your efforts are not being recognized. Your efforts are not having the effect that you are thinking they should. It could be related to a relationship situation, the fact that the girl was in the dream. So that could be some which way connected to the part of your life where that is going on. That would be my guess and interpretation of what that dream has behind it. Let's take a look at that part of your life and see what you think. 1-800-606-7193, the phone number here at Dream Meetings to share your dreams with us. Write it on the website, dreamingradio.com. Let's go to another letter. This one comes into us from Laura. Laura says, I have so many dreams to share with you, therefore I may have to send in several at different times. For now, I really want to share my favorite one and see what you think of it. Dream starts out on a beautiful farm somewhere in Europe. So walking around my great-grandmother's farm, as I walked, I noticed a really lovely, peaceful, kind of large-looking pond. So I went to go sit on the dock, and as soon as I stepped on the dock, it began to rock back and forth at first, gently more and more violently, to the point where I was hanging on for dear life to the dock, struggling to stay on. When suddenly I felt something grab my legs from the water and try to pull me under. For a couple more violent pull attempts from this thing, I started to get weaker and weaker in my last attempt to survive. I called out three times, Mary, 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 please help. As I woke up, I found myself thrashing in bed, yelling, Mary, help me. Enjoy all your podcasts and amazing stories. Makes my work day go by Pastor. At the time of the dream, I believe I was 24-ish. Don't remember much of what was going on back then, but I know that this was around the time that I was becoming less shy. Growing up, I had ADD and low muscle tone, a disorder that caused me to be more clumsy and not be able to focus very long. Could I be one of those people that can control my dreams enough to get out of the not-so-pleasant ones? Why did asking for Mary's help pull me out? Try it on my own, not help. And do you believe ADD, ADHD changes the way you dream? Because my dreams can be like super creative and seem like they would be an awesome movie. To a dream where I go and try and figure out what the heck just happened. Do I believe that ADD and ADHD can affect dreams? Yes, I believe anything that affects anyone in any way, shape, or form can affect dreams, whether that be something of that nature or you name it. Basically, anything that affects our lives can have an influence on your dreams, whether it be small or big. Obviously, bigger things seem to have a larger influence on the things that we dream. What do I think about this? I think the key to answering this one comes into what was going on in your life at the time, about 24, kind of coming into your own, around the time that you were becoming less shy. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. When you're becoming less shy, and I can relate to this because I was very shy growing up. I know, insane to think about because I talk for a living to thousands of people. But I started working in radio when I was 14, and I was extremely shy when it came to real social situations, just being around people. So I found a lot of solace in a radio studio. It was me and a microphone, and I could loosen up a bit. But if I was in front of actual people, I still don't like that very much. When you're starting to kind of come through some of the steps of that, if you're going from being an extremely shy person, very kind of reserved, and then beginning to realize, hey, you know, once you kind of get some circles of friends going and start to interact a little bit, it's like totally new territory. It's a totally new experience for a shy person because it's like, oh my gosh, look at this. Look at this totally wonderful green pasture with a pond in it. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I didn't know this existed. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to explore it more. Look at this dock. I'm going to go stand on it. You getting my analogy? You're exploring this whole new part of yourself and really feeling fairly comfortable in it. Beautiful setting. Great feelings. And you go to a dock as you continue to explore this. And uh-oh, it's kind of shaky. That's, I think, some of the self-doubt that a lot of shy people will have. It's like, this can only go on for so long. This, you know, something's gonna, the other shoe's gonna drop, something's gonna change. It's kind of uncomfortable, kind of shaky ground, if you will. And as you're going through those phases of kind of coming out of that shell, for lack of a better term, it can be scary. And I think that was what this dream was relaying to you. Your subconscious trying to deal with that. Going into the new territories, enjoying it, beautiful setting. But still kind of shaky ground. Not quite stable there yet. Not quite completely comfortable yet. I think that's really what it had to do with, of working through those things. Good for you for working on getting out of that shell, though. I know a lot of folks who never really do. And it's hard. I mean, you always will have a certain element of that where you're never going to quite feel like those folks that don't seem to have any inhibitions, if you will. Or, you know, appropriate inhibitions. There'll always be a little bit shaky ground. I will say that the pier may not be so shaky where you're falling off it and then hanging on for dear life, but you'll always still kind of feel the sway a little bit. and hopefully you can get to that point where you just kind of feel the sway and it's like, you feel that sway? No, no one else. Just me. Okay. Well, I'm okay. No big deal. 1-800-606-7193, our phone number here at Dream Meetings, to share your dreams with us. Continuing on, Maddie writes into us, I'm an incredibly vivid dreamer. I always have been. I'll definitely send more in later. Wanted to share one that was actually kind of funny from just last night before I forget. Necessary background here. I'm a theater teacher. We are rehearsing a show right now and currently have to share the stage with another group. So we clean up at the end of every rehearsal and reset the stage at the beginning. My students are totally okay with doing this. Never give me trouble about it. In the dream, it's a Friday. We don't have rehearsals on Friday, but I entered the auditorium to do something else. And suddenly my students are pouring in behind me, ready to start rehearsal. Tell them it's Friday and that it's not even after school yet. We don't have rehearsals. They don't want to leave. I turn around and notice the stage is entirely set for the show. Tell them that I need them to clear the stage like we have been doing because there's a choir concert tonight and we can't have this stuff on stage. They go to remove it and do so while my back is turned. And when I turn around again, some of the stuff has been removed as it needs to be. But others are stacked in strange patterns around the stage. This happens a few times with me getting increasingly frustrated with the kids and panicked that I will end up having to do this myself. My students think it's hilarious. I get the vibe, though, that they were doing it because they actually wanted to have rehearsal and be together, not because they were being bratty. My grumpy old cat also showed up in the dream and was running around, but there's a good chance he was actually snuggling with me at the time. So, at the time here, it's pretty close to reality. I'm directing a show. The set was set for the show. Cast was cast for the show, and I do have to clear and reset the stage every day. It's obnoxious, but I'm friendly with the teacher who's requesting it, and it's a reasonable request. It only takes about 8 minutes out of my time. He would do and has done the same for me. Outside of that, I have a lot of financial stress going on. Everything that can go wrong is I'm sick. My new car was hit by an uninsured driver. The house was recently bought and is falling apart in ways the inspector should have caught. My cats are all getting seriously ill. Show's going well, but there's still a lot to do. And like every time I direct, I feel like I won't get it all done in time. The show, though written for my students' age group, is riskier than we have done in the past, and I'm honestly anxious about the parents' reaction to it. Kids love that it reflects their real-life challenges, but parents seem often to have blinders on. I adore my cast and crew for the show. They are phenomenal actors and people, which you don't often get to hear, say about 11 to 14-year-old kids. We all enjoy being around each other, and as I said, that's the vibe I got of the stream. I think it's related to the fact that I feel like the odds are against me for completing things I have to complete right now. I think the dream also deals with that the theater is a safe and happy place for me. This is what the writer is saying, and a happy space for both my kids and me. And we really want to be working together even when we didn't have to. However, I would love to hear your thoughts on the dream. Well, it's a chaos dream. And when there's a chaos dream, there's usually chaos going on in the life of the individual dreaming it. And you just told me you had quite a bit of that going on. And I think you are right. I think you really interpreted this well, in my opinion. I think you're talking about being in a happy place. The theater seems to be kind of a place where you are the director. And as you direct things, in real life, the kids are getting it done. The kids are following through. The kids are kind of a safe spot for you right now with a lot of the other things going on in your life that you are trying to direct, but at the same point, it's not going so well, no matter how well you are directing it there. And I think you may just be kind of, as we all do, when we have chaos going on in our lives, and maybe there's one safe spot, maybe there's one safe path that or thing that we're working on that's going really well, you're almost sitting there waiting, if you're somewhat pessimist like I am, and I know a lot of us are, like, well, when's that part going to start going bad too? When is that going to not start working right? And I think that just might be the anxiety of your last kind of sanctuary of escape from the chaos of your life also being impacted by the chaos, by disorder, that even though you're trying to direct it really well, not going to happen. But clearly, it sounds like it is going really well. And it's just an anxiety that's manifesting and showing itself through your dream. I wish you all the best. I hope the play goes well, and I hope it goes flawlessly, and it can be an extra piece of reinforcement to you that not everything is going to be chaotic. There's going to be extra places in life where things can be peaceful. 1-800-606-7193, our phone number here at Dream Meanings. Let's go to Tracy, and Tracy writes in to us. I've had dreams of a similar theme for about 15 years now. What happens in each dream varies, but in each dream, I'm in a version of a town in which I've lived. Strangest thing about these dreams is that if I dream about the same town more than once, the town's features, while different from what they are in real waking life, remain the same in the dream version of that town. First time I had one of these dreams was towards the end of my time in college. I remember walking around the side streets that I didn't know existed in the town where my university was located. In one instance, I talked to a friendly elderly lady who was hanging out laundry. I recall thinking that the street lanes were nice, and I didn't even know they were there, but that they were also a maze, very maze-like. I knew I had other dreams about my college town, but that was the first one, and the only one I can really remember details about. I've had multiple dreams about my hometown. My hometown in real life is very rural. The town population is about 1,000 people. There's not a single traffic light in the county, let alone the town. There are only a few businesses in the town, such as a grocery store, pharmacy, and a couple of dollar stores, plus offices such as dentists, lawyers, and a doctor's office. Only place to eat in town is a pizza place on the edge of town. Others have tried to open restaurants, but they never take off. Contrast that to my dream version of this town, which I've dreamt about multiple times in the dream versions, as a large bazaar in a building next to the town courthouse, where people gather and sell crafts and other unique items. There's a Chinese buffet, which has cafeteria-style seating. I recall wondering whether it was safe to eat there, but dream me didn't get sick. There's a little county cooking or country cooking restaurant in the building behind where the electric company offices are. There's a nice little coffee house, too. Add in a few little cute boutique clothing stores, an antique store, and dream hometown is way cooler than real hometown. Oddly, in subsequent dreams I've had about this town, the cafe moved to the building where the farm and feed store was because the feed store downsized. The Chinese place is still there, and there's now some kind of festival that occurs. I still have dreams about dream hometown. I hope in real hometown eventually gets to be as awesome as its surreal counterpart. I've also had dreams about a city near my hometown. These dreams are the only ones that are consistent. Each time I'm driving through this city on the interstate, either the interstate, which is elevated throughout most of the city, ends, and my car plummets down and I wake up before I hit the ground, or the river, as in the most recent dream, or the interstate suddenly goes up at a 90-degree angle and my car starts climbing the sharp incline only to start free-falling. Once again, I wake up before impact. I still have these dreams, with the most recent happening last year. I lived in Colorado for several months in 2008, and I had my first dream about the little town I lived in several months after I left. I was driving on the interstate away from the town, and I could look in my rearview mirror and see the interstate exit sign with the town's name, plus a few lights from the town in the distance. I noticed that the town was on the wrong side of the interstate. In other dreams about the town, I had to go over a steep mountain pass to get there, and it could only be passed in the summer because snow blocked it the rest of the year. I lived in a little cabin in town, and the sky was always very blue in the dream town. In the dream, I'd sometimes drive to the next town over just for the sake of getting out. I can't remember exactly what happened, but in one case, I remember seeing an old church perched on a hillside, like something out of an old West ghost town. To this day, I'll occasionally have a dream about this town, and in every dream, I seek out that cabin to rent. In the past several years, since I've been married, I don't have these dreams as often, although I still have dreams about my hometown, the city nearby, and my residence in Colorado. Once I got married, I moved from my hometown to a new town, and while I'm sure that I've dreamt about this new town, I don't remember anything about those particular dreams. These dreams take place over such a long period of time that I can't say for sure what was going on in my life when I had each one. In the first dream, I can understand how graduating from college and the huge life changes that come with that could be the cause of a dream, and I see how moving across the country after leaving a good job in Colorado could be a factor for the dreams about the Colorado town. But I don't know what to do with the other dreams. What I wonder most about is the falling, what that implies in my dreams about the city. Why is it not safe to drive through? And why do I keep having dreams about these places in general? I'm not complaining because I like all these dreams, except the falling dreams, and enjoy visiting the towns, but I've never heard of anyone else that has dreams like these. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Well, you've just met someone who's had dreams like these. Me. And I have to say, I haven't heard anyone else, I think, ever, even on this show, explain having such similar type dreams that I've had. Well, I'll explain to you what I kind of have gathered up from the experiences I've had with having very, very similar dreams. I haven't had the falling one, but here's what I've had. Going back to towns that I lived in in my early 20s and late teens. After I graduated high school, I worked in radio and right away and moved away at 18 and was in a certain town in Wisconsin for about 3 years. I still have dreams about going back to that town, visiting that town, living in that town. And it's just like how you described, it's so much has changed, but it's almost like you know about what has changed. And these changes in real life have not occurred. But you seem to understand and know, oh, yes, that restaurant down the way there, that's brand new. Yeah, that took up the space of that other place that downsized. And none of these places even exist. But you seem to just be just secondhand knowledge or just firsthand knowledge of how these things happened, and as if you've just known this little tidbit of information for forever. And yeah, it's just how it is. Not like you're just conjuring this up in your mind. And you go through the town and a lot of things have changed for the positive, and it's a positive dream. I enjoy those dreams too. I think what it has to do with is looking back on portions of our life. A lot of it defining portions of our life where we're younger and we're kind of coming into our own. Because it would have been my college time. I never went to college, but it would have been those years. So I guess I would define it as, you know, the college-esque years of my life. As looking back at choices I made, and I think it's our mind trying to play around with the idea of what might have been. Had choices been made differently, had you gone down this path or that path, in these settings, things may be different, and how different could they have been? I don't think that it means that these stores would be there, these restaurants would be there, or anything of that nature. I just think it's our mind populating the town, with the town being a metaphor for us and our lives at those times, and looking at what might have been had things been different. Now, as far as the leaving the town and going to the next town over, I think that could be a bit of a metaphor of your mind saying, well, there may be some unfinished business back here, and you're not going to be able to get to point B without correcting or making peace with whatever the unfinished business is back at point A. And that where, you know, that kind of plays back to the what might have been thing. And I think that's one of those things where we have to make peace with our past and the choices that we make when we're young and stupid, and find a way to move forward. Otherwise, these things can kind of plague you in your mind. Well, most of your waking life and whatnot, you may not be held back by anything, but our mind can continually run over things and go, I should have done something this way. I should have done something that way. And you can't change the past. You just have to kind of make peace with it and move on and learn from those mistakes. But our minds don't necessarily work that easily. I think that's really what you might be dealing with here with that dream. Thank you for sharing. It was really interesting to hear someone else who's had a very similar experience in a dream that I've had as well. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number. 1-800-606-7193. If you like our program, here's how you can support it. Go to our website, dreamingradio.com, and you click on the button that says support the show through Patreon, right at the top of the page there. And you can pledge to support our show at $1 an episode. And if you do that, you will get advanced episodes of the show. As we release them, you'll have access to them. So in advance of everybody else getting them, as I make them, I post them. You'll also get access to a FastPass email to get your dreams to us even faster than everybody else. Jump to the front of the line. That's at $1 an episode. You support us at $1 an episode, you get that. We release about 4 episodes a month, 4 or 5, right around there. So typically at most, it's going to be, you know, $4 to $5 a month. But $1 an episode is the pledge number there. Or you can do it at $3 an episode if you'd like. And we will, you and me, in addition to all the other extras I just talked about, we'll get on a phone call. And we'll talk about your dream one-on-one, and we'll dive into that baby and see if we can really get to the bottom of it in an even more depth fashion than just a letter or a voicemail. So there's another reason to help support the show, and a nice little extra perk for you there. You get to that all by going to our website, dreamingradio.com, and then click on the support our show through Patreon at the top of the page. Choose what way you want to support us and help this thing keep afloat. Love doing it. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Dream Meanings.